This interview is being conducted by Caitlin Schrader on June 16th, 2020. I am interviewing for the first time Nicole Lonicky. This interview is taking place digitally from her home in Dearborn Heights, Michigan. And this interview is supported by Wayne State University's Reuther Archive. It is part of the Southeast Michigan COVID-19 Oral Histories. Welcome, Nicole, and thank you for your participation.
Yeah, of course. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Before we begin, I would also like to state that if there is a topic or question you do not wish to answer, please feel free to say so and we will move on. So, are you ready?
Yes.
All right. I would just like to start off asking you what your life was like before the pandemic, before the shelter-in-place orders went into effect. What was a typical day or week like for you?
So I just graduated college, so I was in my last semester of my degree, which was for music education at the University of Michigan. And I was actually student teaching at this time. So I had been spending every day, Monday through Friday, at a middle school. I actually had just recently switched to my second placement, which was in Detroit. So that was every weekday. I was just spending every single day, every single school day in the school with the students. Weekends were pretty light, slept in.
Were you still student teaching once the pandemic actually hit?
Yes, I started January, I think, 6th, and I was supposed to end on April 28th, I believe.
Okay. What was it like being in a classroom or in a school setting with students who were looking to you kind of for guidance, maybe, as this was all unfolding in the early stages?
Right. So in my first placement at Scarlett Middle School in Ann Arbor, it hadn't gotten super serious yet, but we were hearing about kind of just rumors and kind of rude jokes about it coming from China and how it's a huge thing and how, you know, it may hit. But these, at the time, it was just lighthearted jokes. I spoke more to my mentor teacher and the other student teacher who was there with me, since she was from Singapore. And so we got a little perspective into Singapore because her family was there and everything. So talked a little bit about it with my co-workers, but wasn't really seeing a big difference in the students yet. When I switched placements that first week of March, I was just starting to get to know the kids. I actually had 9 days with them before the university told us not to go to our placements anymore and until further notice. So there was one day when I, you know, they told us, don't go back. It was a Wednesday. They said, don't go back Thursday or Friday. Well, I had some of my instruments that were my own at the school. So I went back Thursday to grab them and kind of say goodbye to my kids because it didn't look like I was going to be back. And at that time, it was with this 6th, 7th, and 8th grade band. And I had a chance to sit down and talk with them about kind of what was happening, why I wasn't going to be back, what like some possibilities were going to happen. And it was a really good discussion to have with them, just to see what they were thinking about, what they were worried about, and something that I could, you know, I could be there for them and say, it'll be okay. You know, we're taking proper measures, and, you know, what are questions you have, and open it up to them. So that was a really special moment for me to be there for them in that moment.
Thank you. Have you kept in touch with any of your kids from either placement since this happened?
I have not. I had already said my goodbyes at the first placement, so there wasn't really that much need to be in touch with the students. I have spoken to my mentor teacher from there and the other student teacher as well. At the second placement, I hadn't really gotten to know the kids that well enough to keep in touch. I still keep in touch with that mentor teacher as well from Detroit. It was harder though, because the schools are trying to, you know, switch to virtual learning, and Detroit doesn't have some of the accommodations that other schools had, such as, you know, Ann Arbor, the ability to keep doing education online. So I think in that regard, it was tougher for me to still be involved in their education, because it was kind of non-existent for Detroit students at that time.
Thank you. How did you, or rather, when did you become aware of COVID-19? Like, when did you first become aware of it? What were your initial thoughts? How did you feel about it?
See. I don't think I really knew about it until after I started student teaching in January or February. I had heard more about it from the other student teacher and her family in Singapore, and knew it was spreading over there. I didn't really know how serious it was until basically things started canceling here and the University of Michigan shut down and told us not to go to classes. So I know there's only one other time that the University of Michigan closed schools, and that was because the weather was under, you know, however it was the freeze days or whatever last winter. But so once I knew this university had closed, I knew it was pretty serious. Although my mentor teacher at the first placement, her daughter one morning had some seizures, and so this was really scary, and so my mentor teacher had to run out, take her to the hospital. Of school, this happened at school. And so she was gone the whole day. Everybody was worried about her. They didn't know what was happening to their daughter. After a couple of days, results came back, and it was a different strain, but it was of COVID. So that was kind of interesting to see her three-year-old daughter affected that way and kind of know it was of COVID, but it wasn't COVID-19. So I guess just like hearing of COVID and seeing it get worse and worse, it didn't hit me until it hit everyone, I think. Yeah.
Would you say that your, or how would you say, any thoughts or opinions you had on it before, have they changed as time has progressed?
I think I just didn't know how serious it was when I was still student teaching. And even when the schools closed, I was kind of a little bit in denial of it. I think we all kind of were, just because we had pictured our last semester in college as student teaching, and you're going to be there. And then after you finish student teaching, you were going to go back and you were going to sub, and you're still going to be with those students. And then you were going to graduate and have all these things. So for me, what helped me be in denial about it, about the seriousness of it, was that I was being taken away from that experience at student teaching. So I think it was just hard for me to deal with it, and still kind of is, just thinking about everything that I've missed or won't get to do until later in the future when they figure things out. But I guess it didn't get serious until I thought about my parents, because they're kind of older, and seeing how the COVID-19 has affected people of that age kind of scared me and shocked me into reality a little bit.
Through U of M, how was the pandemic discussed or handled? When did they start handing out information to?
Oh, man. There was a ton of emails going out about COVID starting that Wednesday night, Thursday, and Friday. Let me get the dates. It was mid-March. March 11th, that night, they said don't go to our placements and don't go. We don't have school for the next 2 days, Thursday and Friday. There were emails. So I get emails from the School of Music, Theater, and Dance because I'm a main student there. And then since I'm also in education, I also get the School of Education emails from U of M. We were getting emails from the president. We were getting emails from all of the places that had events that were like canceling. We had a huge shift in like hours from places, procedures from places on campus, like the health center and libraries and all these things. So we were just getting a ton of emails. I remember I kind of just stopped looking at them just because it kind of said the same thing, saying like, oh, like we will get through this. Like, thank you for your patience. I remember some emails. So an email came out from the president, and there was another email from SMTD or the music school kind of quoting his email. So it was just a lot of repetitive information with some tweaks. But it was just a lot. I remember there being a lot of emails coming out about it, which I guess was helpful, but a little confusing. But at least we knew that they were thinking about it and on it.
You said March 11th was when you were told not to go back to classes for Thursday and Friday. Was that correct?
Yes, they said schools or classes were canceled for Thursday and Friday, the 12th and 13th, so that teachers and professors could switch to virtual learning starting the next Monday.
So after that, it was completely virtual learning. You never went back to a classroom?
Correct.
Okay, thank you. Mm-hmm. Did you still have any of your own virtual classes, even though you were student teaching?
I had one class through U of M for seminar for the student teaching. That was once a week on Tuesdays from 4 to 7 p.m., I believe.
What was the experience like having to switch that from an in-person class to going virtual?
Honestly, I don't think it was as hard as it was for some other students who were full-time and not student teaching. For seminar, there was rarely any homework. The homework that we had was very light reading. There was a lot of reflection. It wasn't very strict. And we had some guests come in to talk to us. And our actual last class in person was a mock interview. So at least we had gotten that out of the way. For the most part, it was really easy. I feel like the class could have been virtual all along, but then I would miss seeing my friends. So, it was only once a week too. So, and with no homework, it was really easy.
Thank you. You said that you finished your degree this semester. This was your last semester and you are graduating, or you did graduate, correct?
Yeah. Yep.
How was that for you and for your friends in your program as well, not being able to walk? What was that experience? Can you talk to that a little bit?
Yeah, I think I'm still dealing with it a little bit, because when everything happened, a lot of people were upset from what I could tell. I felt selfish in a way, because they were saying, along the lines of, they should figure things out, they should know these things already, they should have a plan, why aren't they telling us things? Because we were worried about getting our teaching certificate, which is different from our diploma. Like, you get your degree, but you also have to apply for a teaching certificate through the state of Michigan, and they have certain requirements that are really strict, such as hours that you're supposed to be in a classroom with actual students. So that was a little hard for us to deal with at first. For me, I was kind of like, everything's going to be fine. It'll all work out. Like, they have to let us have a teaching certificate. This isn't in our control. And there's going to be so many other students who are graduating to be teachers that need teaching certificates, but don't have the hours because of COVID. But, you know, I was kind of calm about all the requirements and things. But as far as graduation and all the ceremonies, I don't really think it hit me as hard as it hit other people. I was kind of sad that I didn't get to have the ceremony at the big house and the ceremony in Hill Auditorium for the music students and education ceremony and all those things. I did picture graduation as more of a goodbye to my friends and a celebration with my friends rather than a family celebration. At least that's what I pictured it for me personally. But the more I think about it, the more I think about how it's just a ceremony that we have and that doesn't deter from everything that we've done. You know, we still deserve the diploma regardless of whether we have a ceremony and everything. You know, people are still proud of us. It feels weird just because we're kind of in limbo and it feels like it's going to happen still, even though I know it's not. I have my graduation cap and tassels and gown in my closet and I haven't taken pictures yet. Don't know why, but it's just a weird, weird feeling. Yeah.
Do you think the university will host a late graduation ceremony for people who didn't get to walk?
I do. There's been talk of something that is going to happen in the future, but no real solid details yet. But I feel like they're not going to worry, and I don't want them to worry about it until later on, even if the graduation ceremony doesn't happen until, you know, five years down the line. I would not be upset about that because I know there's more important things happening, but there is talk that there will be something in the future.
Thank you. So during quarantine, when we were under these shelter-in-place orders, what was a typical day like for you? Did you go out or did you focus on staying in? Did you ever go see anybody or how was that like for you?
At the beginning, I kind of didn't want to believe it. So I would still go out. I wouldn't go out, but I would go for walks. I still go for walks, usually without a mask because it's usually just by myself. You know, if I see anyone on the other side of the street, I'll cross the street to make more room between us. And, you know, I'll still be polite and keep our distance, but I still do go outside. I pictured this more as a mental health concern for my own mental health to be outside. I started on Instagram. I had never really used Instagram before, but I started, I think, March 20th or 21st, doing a selfie of myself outside every day, just to get myself outside. And I think that's been really important to me, to be able to do that, whether it's just me walking outside, standing by my car, taking a selfie, and then walking back inside, or whether it's going for an actual walk for an hour or 10 minutes or however long. I think that's really benefited me in the quarantine order. My roommate at the time, she left about a week after the order was put in place. She went back home to Canada, so she had, you know, a lot of concerns about getting home and the healthcare and her family and everything. So she decided to leave. And since then, I've been in my apartment alone. That's been a huge transition too. Just shifting to what is my purpose now that, you know, I can't go out. All of my friends have left town. town. They've gone back home. A few of them have stayed. There's some musicians that live around me. So I often hear them practicing. So it kind of helps me realize that not everyone has left. But it's definitely been a huge transition to living alone and knowing that not everyone is in town. And I didn't get to, you know, say those goodbyes and everything. But I think I'm settling into it.
How often would you visit your parents?
Oh, I think it averages about once a week. I did do the initial 2 weeks to myself. I didn't go to Kroger. I didn't go grocery shopping. I didn't go see any friends in their apartments. I maybe met someone outside. I went for a walk, but I did do the 2 weeks of actual isolation just to make sure that I wasn't going to bring anything home to my parents. And when I did, you know, I didn't go inside the house for the couple times. And then when I started going inside, I would wash my hands. I would keep my distance from them. So I think we've gotten a little bit more relaxed about it because I can come home and I can sit next to my parents, but you know, we're still being a little cautious about what we do. Yeah, it's about once a week, if not a little more.
How do you think this has impacted your parents?
My parents have always been kind of to themselves in the way that they work 24/7 hours together. They spend basically every waking moment together. So I think they kind of know how to work together and live with each other. But definitely it did change a lot because they did not leave their house at all for over a month. They would not allow anyone in the house. They would not, I don't even think they went outside for very long if they did. So I know that was a little tough for them, but I think they just thought about, this is something we have to do and, you know, we're going to get through it and everyone's doing this and we all have to do this to be safe. They're starting to open up a little bit more now to, you know, people and experiences of leaving the house, going to their office, meeting someone outside. They're starting to do that a little bit more now, but they've been pretty cautious this whole time.
Thank you. How have any of your plans been impacted by the virus? Were there things that you were planning to do this summer that you're uncertain of now?
I mean, quite a few things. So in would have been May, I would have done a pit orchestra gig for a young theater group in Ann Arbor. That was canceled. That was also a little source of income. I usually work at a banquet hall in the summers, but they closed and I'm not sure what they're doing now. I got a job with Brightmoor Arts Academy, which was going to be in person, 5 days a week for 4 hours. That's been shifted. I've heard that we're going to go virtual now, and do virtual lessons and classes. So that'll be a little different, but I'll still be able to do it. Band camps at the end of the summer. I'm still going to do one, but their camp is usually an away camp, meaning they go to they go to Spring Arbor and they stay in the dorms and then they use their field. So it's a sleepaway camp. But I think now they're going to do their camp at their school instead of going away, which I think is safer, but Just things like that. I didn't really know what I was going to do. I knew I was going to job search, which I'm still doing. I hadn't really thought about it until after the fact, but any interviews, I'm looking at jobs in the southeastern United States, and I feel like most of those interviews I would have to go in person and do interviews with them, but kind of benefits me in the fact that I can't. So all the interviews are virtual, which kind of helps out with the travel money and everything. So just little things here and there. Thought I'd be spending more time with my friends. But I guess now I'm spending time with my friends in a different way. So it's okay.
Thank you, and congratulations on that job.
Thanks.
So, snowballing off of seeing your friends, how have you stayed connected to them, or have you, did you do virtual chats, or did you ever get together and meet up with one another?
Yeah, so that they're actually been the reason why I'm kind of sane right now. My high school friends, we have a little group of four of us. One's in Colorado, though, and she, I don't think she plans on coming back here after she totaled her car. But we've been trying to do, every Thursday night, we have a Skype call. And it's either a game night, and we do virtual games. So we do the, like, Cards Against Humanity or Jack in the Box, I think, is another platform we can use, or like Club Penguin. Anything virtual that we can do, we've done. So a game night, or we heard about doing presentations. So slides of a random subject, and we would just give a random presentation on these nights. And there was enough of us, so there's four of us, and then I added one of my friends from the University of Michigan, and so we would all, like, get together, and we'd all give presentations or have a game. So that's been every week. When things started lightening up, I would come home and see them in person. So we started hanging out in one of my friend's backyards, and she actually measured, 6 feet apart, if not more. We did not go inside her house. I would go home if I had to use the bathroom. So we very much were very safe about it in the beginning. We're still safe. We still, one of my friends still wears her mask, and that's fine. We mostly eat together, so kind of hard to wear our masks all the time. But now, we've been together a couple times now, so for a few weeks, and getting a little bit more relaxed, but, still cautious. My other friend is trying to get a game night together with another group of friends, one of my coworkers, from a different job that I had in the past. So, it's just mostly video calls, things I really hadn't done in the past before, and now is becoming more normal.
Would you say having the virtual chats helped you get through this, or how was that experience?
Yes. So I think, so I'm a very extroverted person. I love being around people. And when all of my friends had suddenly left, and even, people I didn't see as friends, just acquaintances, they had left. It seemed so barren. And I knew I wasn't going to come home. I wasn't going to jeopardize my parents. Not to mention I would still have to pay for an apartment out in Ann Arbor anyways, even if I didn't live there. I became very isolated. And being able to call my friends and more so to, like, see their faces helped me just to be more social in this time. And, I probably wouldn't have been as connected if my therapist hadn't pushed me to call my friends, to talk to people. You know, she was very much, this is a time when you need to reach out, and this is when you set up those, not friendships, but those kind of scheduled meetings, plans. You know, this is when you schedule them, and, you know, this is going to take you into your future. And I thought about that too as a way to stay in contact with the people who I loved and cared about when I did move away from them. So I think this is definitely good practice for when that happens, because I won't be able to see them all the time. But yeah, it's definitely helped me. Even when I didn't feel like talking to people, I would still call up my friends, and then we'd stay on the phone for hours and hours, and it would be all right.
I'm glad that you had that and you had that positive experience.
Yeah.
Kind of talked about it here and there, but I'm going to ask, how would you say the pandemic has affected you personally or emotionally?
It was a very sudden change, and I feel like, you know, I'm 22, but, you know, I can change a lot in my lifetime, but I feel like I'm a little harder to get behind things when things change suddenly. Although once I realize some things, or the severity of a situation, or the pros of the alternate route, that, you know, I can switch and I can change mindsets. So it's kind of showed me that even in a crisis, I can get through it, and I do have that support system of my friends and my family and of people who care about me, who want to see me do good and do well, that, you know, I have that. So even if in the future something like this happens, or something to the severity happens again, you know, I'll kind of have more positivity going through it. It's given me a lot of time to reflect, actually, if you can't tell. Just about what I want from life, and, you know, how I'm going to live this next chapter, kind of, you know, away from my home. I haven't really left, you know, I went to school 40 minutes away. But I think it's kind of shown me too that I'm ready for it.
Well put, thank you. Now that the stay-at-home orders have lifted, is there anything that you think you will miss from those restrictions?
That's a neat question. I do enjoy being a little bit more quiet on campus. You know, I can go on a walk or a run and not really see many people. I don't know if that's really going to change much yet. But I do like serenity. I think, yeah, I would visit my friend on Central Campus. And she lived in a house, and so she lived in a neighborhood where she would jam. She would do jazz jam sessions out on her front porch and front yard. And I would sometimes go over and do that with her. And she, on her last one before she went home to California, she gave out invites to all of her neighbors and said, like, here's, like, this is going to be a last jam session. Please come. Like, I'll take requests. And so I went there and played with her, and just to see that community come together, because we have nothing else better to do, because we all, like, turn to the arts as a form of expression, as a form of coping with this pandemic. It was really neat to see that, as a community, those people coming together and supporting each other. I hope that we can continue to do that and we can continue to socially distance and be aware of our surroundings and wear masks around people, you know, because it's, I don't know, I feel like it's polite because you're thinking about your contributions to this earth. And, you know, I feel like in times of crisis, people turn to each other and are more helpful and understanding to an extent. So maybe if things are lifted, I just hope that we can still care about one another in the same way, or, you know, kind of the same way.
Very well said. I hope that too. Earlier you mentioned having to adjust to living alone. Do you think you will miss that, or are you really ready to have a roommate or two again?
It's funny you ask that. My roommate texted me this morning actually saying, are you available to give a potential sublet or a tour of the apartment? Because obviously, like, I don't want her, you know, she has to spend money and she can't live here. So I'm open to her having a subletter in the apartment. I'll be fine. And so I guess there is a potential subletter in the future. I think it's just going to take, again, some change and some time for me to get used to it. I've adjusted to living alone and quite well. I kind of have my instruments strewn about the floor and I set up a little workplace, so it'll definitely be a change. But I do miss, you know, talking to someone else, having someone else there to talk to. I loved having my roommate with me because we always went into like deep discussions about life and, you know, we were able to talk about pretty much everything. So I do miss that part. And, you know, if the subletter decides to live with me, then I'll be excited for that too. Again, it'll just get some change in my daily routine is all.
Well, thank you. I hope that subletter works out and you guys can get along very well.
Yeah.
Looking back on this, what are some moments that you won't forget?
I think I've paid more attention to the weather. I just remember it snowed one day in the middle of a bunch of sunny days, and it was really weird. I think I'll remember the time that I had to myself to reflect, to educate myself, to learn. I decided to start reading again. So now I have like 5 books checked out of a library and I'm watching all these different documentaries on Netflix, and I'm learning instruments that I didn't think I would have time to learn. So yeah, I guess, you know, I don't regret having this time to be more reflective and to be more caring for myself before I go into my first job as a teacher. I think it'll be hard to forget just how this virus has affected the way we live and the way we see germs and how we dress and operate and speak to one another. I think it'll reflect and show us the Black Lives Matter movement with all the protests and police brutality. I think that'll be tied into this virus as well, hopefully in the history books. So I hope other people are using this time as a time to reflect and educate themselves on these matters so that we can move forward and do better for our society. But I hope those are the two things that will be remembered.
Thank you. I just have two-ish more questions left, just so you know where we're at.
Okay.
What would you say was your biggest challenge through this experience?
I think I'm still getting over the fact that I'm not going back to student teaching is the one thing that I keep coming back to that I'm disappointed in. When all this, all the school closings hit, I wouldn't have a lot of face time with students. And that's the one thing that I love to do. I've been able to do that to a certain extent with a couple students that I teach private lessons to now virtually, but I haven't had that feeling for a while of just being around students and helping them through something and to understand something and just seeing them light up in understanding. And it's such a great feeling that I haven't had for a while. I think that is kind of challenging in that way. I think it's challenging in the way that we all had to change so quickly. Like I said previously, I don't deal with change, sudden change very well until I've, understood it or accepted it. Something I'm worried about for the future that might be a challenge is how classes are going to be run, how music classes are going to be run. But I know they're doing some studies to get some guidelines out for us about that. So I'm not worried about it yet, but it might be a little bit of a challenge.
Thank you for sharing that. And that kind of leads into my last question is, how do you think this pandemic will affect how we connect socially going forward, especially for you as a teacher in schools, specifically a music ed teacher? What thoughts do you have or ideas?
Yeah, I think there'll be a lot more technology involved. I feel like education was kind of going on that route anyways to be more technically involved. But I think now there's a need for it. Not quite sure how specific school districts will handle it, but I think there are many opportunities and ways to deal with doing virtual anything, whether it's like a virtual open house, a virtual parent-teacher meeting, whether the classes themselves will be virtual or half virtual. I don't even know if I can tell what's going to happen. And it's going to be different for every state too, because not every state got as bad or is worse than what we had. So I feel like there'll be a lot of different ways to deal with it. But I definitely think technology will serve a greater role in the getting back to, I guess it won't be normal, but to our continuing our life. I guess I can't really imagine how it's going to be other than just more technology.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
That was the last question I had. Is there anything that you would like to add? Any questions that you wish I would have asked you would like to address? Closing remarks?
think you got them all. And I know you're going to be asking other perspectives too, so I think that's really great.
Thank you again. Thank you so much, Nicole, for your participation today in the Southeast Michigan COVID-19 Oral Histories Project, supported by Wayne State's Reuther Archive. So if it is all right with you, we will go ahead and close this interview. All right. Thank you so much for your time. Have a great evening.
Thank you. You too.